going to start off tonight in Psalm chapter 84. And I'm going to start out with a word of prayer. But first, I wanted to show you the brochure that I was talking about. It's on the back table. It says Rodriguez Family Ministries, Printing, Praising, and Preaching. And in that, you'll find a pretty good overview of our ministry and what we're about and how we operate our ministry. If you have any questions, you can feel free to ask me after the service as well. That would be fine. So we're going to turn to Psalm chapter 84. And I've been really debating a lot of the day on two different messages to preach tonight. I prepared these messages right around the same time for a recent revival meeting that we were in, and I struggled a little bit, but I think I'm going to park here tonight, and we'll start. That's Psalm 84. Looks like we got about 20 minutes, and we'll start off with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word tonight and the opportunity to be here at Bible Baptist Church, and Lord, all these folks here who we assume are mainly believers. But Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as personal Savior, that hasn't put their faith and trust in what you did on the cross and accepted the payment of your death, burial, and resurrection on the cross for their sin, Lord, I pray that you'd just work in their hearts, show them that they need to do that. And Lord, there's no forgiveness without the precious blood. We heard a lot about the blood this morning, and Lord, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness without the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be the witnesses in this world that we can as Christians. Lord, open hearts, people that we talk to. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with my lips tonight. Help me to say that which is pleasing to you. Lord, that which is helpful and motivating, and Lord, Lord, help strengthen our spirits tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 84, verses 9 through 11, we'll just read those passages there. It says, behold, the psalmist says, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And the other message that I was considering preaching tonight starts out with Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, and I'll just read that, but I'm not going to preach that message. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. There are similar messages because I had a theme in that revival service. But you know, the Bible teaches that we're to be watching daily at the posts of God's door. And it says that blessed is that man. In both verses, or both passages of Scripture, the Bible talks about a blessed man. Verse 12 in Psalm 84, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And the psalmist said here, I'm assuming that it's it looks like a psalm of the sons of Korah, that's what it's, but I just call it the psalmist. He said it's better than a thousand. A day in God's courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know what that word doorkeeper means? Does anybody know what that means? A keeper of the door. That's what it means, right? It's a menial task at best. But you know, the Bible teaches that it's better than a thousand to spend a day in God's courts. And you know, this message, the Lord burdened my heart about this message, because what I see happening in today's day is that a lot of Christians, a lot of people in church have a desire for more worldly things than they do for the Lord. And that's a problem. Because what happens is, you know, when you begin to develop a taste for the world, it's very hard to get away from that. But when you develop a taste for God, it's very hard to get away from that. And you know, when you've experienced both, you realize that it's better to be in the house in God's courts than it is to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And I want you to notice there it says, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A thousand. One day is better than 3 years. So just remember that. And so what I wanted to talk about and kind of push tonight is that it's a daily thing too. It's a daily watch. When we get up tomorrow morning, remember that a day in God's courts is better than a thousand in the tents of the wicked. And so it's our job, it's our duty to spend time in God's court. It's our duty to give God thanksgiving. It's our duty to get up in the morning and give Him His due thanksgiving, His due praise, His due glory, and to ask for help to get through that day. It's something that we have a duty to do. A person who tends the door is no more than a doorkeeper. It's a menial task. But let me say this. Hebrews, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, sometimes the reason why Christians won't choose to dwell with God is because they don't want to face the affliction that comes as a result of being a Christian. But Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, the other thing too is we forget that the Lord's going to reward those who diligently seek Him. You know, the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is going to bless you for seeking Him on a daily basis. It's our duty to watch daily. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37 says, but of the day and of the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know, we need to be a doorkeeper. We need to be close to God's post. We need to be there watching and listening for God's instruction on a daily basis. The question is, what would you rather do? Are you a child of God that wants to spend time with God and God's people? Or do you find yourself being pulled in by the world and the lusts of it? Would we rather have a simple menial task in the right place than to be in the wrong place doing the wrong thing? And, you know, I faced this decision years ago as a commercial printer. I remember I made pretty good money as a commercial printer. Now, printing It's a competitive industry, and it's not the best money, but I made pretty good money. But I remember years ago facing things that I had to print and reading some of the things I would have to print and thinking, Lord, this is not what I want to do with my life. I don't believe what this says. And there were times I had to refuse to print certain things and actually put my job on the line a couple different times, and the Lord took care of all that. But when I was about 20, I got saved when I was 18, I think around 20, the Lord burdened my heart to just stay in printing and use it for Him. And I've helped start church print shops and helped train others in printing ministries. And we've had our own ministry for about 10 years now. And I just praise the Lord to be able to be printing truth, printing His Word, printing what is, you know, nothing I do. In fact, I said to my wife, I said, when we start our ministry, I'm going to name we're Rodriguez Family Ministries, but my shop is called All Things Truth Print Shop. Why? Because I'm not going to print anything that's not truth. And so the reality of it is sometimes we have to suffer. You know, I thought, well, we took a risk, right? We went into the ministry full time with many children wondering what was going to happen. We took that risk. Why? Because I think it's better to dwell in the courts of the Lord than in the tents of wickedness. And that's why we made the choice. And so sometimes we have to make a choice. Sometimes we're faced with choices and we have to say, hey, you know, this is just going down the wrong road. We got to make the right choices. Proverbs 24:1 says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Where's our desire? That's the question. A lot of times it's, where is our desire? Is your desire to be with God today? Is your desire to have a relationship with Him? Is your desire to serve Him? So I have three quick points tonight. I want to say that a day in God's courts is better. Number one, it's better. The Bible says there, the psalmist said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. For some reason, we allow the devil to fool us into thinking that it could somehow be better to follow the world and the world's good. And you know the saying, the grass is greener on the other side. And as Christians, for those of us that have been saved for any length of time, we know that's not the truth. But on a daily basis, we allow our flesh to get to us, don't we? Sometimes we just let that, Paul said, I die daily. To live for Him, we have to die daily. But a day in thy courts is better. Hebrews 8:6 says, but now He hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Psalm 118:9 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Psalm 118:8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 16:8 says, better is a little with righteousness. What did we say? That little with righteousness. That's what God's looking for. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to do great and grand, wonderful things. You know, some people look at us and, man, how did you guys do all this? How did you get up? One day at a time. Not because of us, but because of Him. Because God did it. I didn't do it. I can't take glory for it. And I will say this, I have a very diligent wife and a very hardworking wife. And I think she's a harder worker than I am. And she'll run herself into the ground sometimes to do for others. And that's a great quality. But you know, ultimately, the reason why we're where we're at is because God did it. And because we had a desire to do something for God. And because on a daily basis we just did the next thing and the next thing. And okay, what about today, Lord? What do we do today? And then God builds things. And one day at a time. A house doesn't get built in one day. Well, unless you have an extremely aggressive work crew, I guess you could put a whole house up in one day. I used to frame, so I know the framing part of it could possibly get done one day if you had guys that were working very fast and several of them. But that would just be one part of the building. You'd have all the rest of the stuff. But what I'm saying is it doesn't happen in one day. It's a period of weeks. And you put one brick upon another brick and one wall up, and then you lay the trusses for the next floor, the floor joists, and then you build your next level and up, and then you put your trusses in and build your roof. And so it's a one, you get up and you do the work on a daily basis. Philippians 1:23 says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But Paul said it was more needful to be here. You know, God has a reason for you to be here. He's got something for you to do. He's got something for me to do. Sometimes it gets weary here. I say, Lord, would you just come back? And then God says, well, there's still some things to do. Right? The Bible says in Peter, to count that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants to still show Himself strong on the behalf of some other people. And I have unsaved relatives that I'd like to see saved, that I'd like to see come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why they don't get saved? Because the devil's deceived them. Because the world's deceived them into thinking that what we believe is a bunch of hogwash. It's a cult, it's a clan, whatever you want to call it. We're brainwashed and that sort of thing. But the Lord can still work in their hearts to show them the folly of their way. Proverbs 8:19 says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Number two, not only is a day in God's courts better, but a day in God's courts is brighter. Number two, it's brighter. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Isaiah 60:3 says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming." One of the things I'll never get over is that when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, somebody handed me a tract one day in the mall and said, "This will tell you how you can know for sure that you have eternal life." And I was 18, and you know, I've gone back and forth with whether or not the guy handed me a tract at 17 or 18. I got saved when I was 18 years old. I know that, pretty confident about that, but I don't have a date and all that. But I didn't get saved right there when he handed me the tract. But I remember when he said the words eternal life, it was like a light bulb went on. I thought, that's it. That's what I need. And I'd never heard that before. I never even heard there was a such thing as eternal life. So later on, when I trusted Christ and I began to grow and the Holy Spirit was just doing a work in my life and I started changing things without even having any Christian influence in my life. And then finally I met some Christians and I went to a meeting. And I remember coming to the altar, the first or second message of that meeting, and just crying tears of joy at the fact that I had come to the knowledge of the truth. What I'm saying is, I remember, I'll never forget the experience of knowing that I was saved for the first time and knowing how bright God's presence was in my life and how much better it was than anything I had ever experienced till I was 18 years old. And somehow we let that die as we go on, don't we? We let that kind of drag out and we just kind of get into the mundane things of life as Christians and we forget that God's light is eternal. It's brighter. It can be brighter. But what it is we just need to spend tomorrow in the presence of God. We need to spend the next day in the presence of God. We need to spend the next day with the power of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of His firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." That's a reward for those of us who try to reach others for Christ. "As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." Matthew 17:5, "And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Revelation 21:23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Do you know that there's no darkness in God at all? He's the light of the world. But men love darkness rather than light, myself included. If I'm not walking in the Spirit, if I'm not staying in the presence of God, this flesh could learn to do and go back to the world. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't sever my childhood, I can't sever God. I can't sever being a part of God's family because I'm saved by the blood. Saved by the blood. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He has saved us. But see, what happens is we just forget how pleasant it is to be in the presence of the Lord, how rewarding it is to be in the presence of the Lord, and we walk in the flesh. And number three, I want to say, not only is it better, not only is it brighter, but it's a buffer. It's a safer thing. It's a safer thing to spend a day in God's courts than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Bible says in verse 11, He's a sun and a shield. Psalm 4:8 says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Proverbs 21:31, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." Psalm 12:5 says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety that puffeth at him." You know, all these people that mock what you do and joke around about your Christianity and say that it's all a big joke and one day you're going to throw in the towel, and maybe you will throw in the towel because this world and the devil sometimes is stronger than we realize. But let me tell you something, when you cry out to the Lord, He's there to take care of you. He's there to lift you out of the pit. He's there to protect you if you want His protection. If you don't want His protection, He won't. But if you cry out, God will protect you. God will keep you safe. And I'm not saying that things don't happen in this world, trials and affliction and all that type of stuff. But I'm talking about the spirit. God's going to keep your spirit safe. And that's why Paul and Silas could sing in the prisons and rejoice. And the prison doors would open. That's why, you're in prison. Why are you singing? Because of what's inside. And that's something that the devil can't take away unless you give it to him. Unless I give it to him. Psalm 119, 117 says, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Over and over again. I mean, these are just the hem of the garment on these scriptures. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Psalm 78:53, "And He led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies." Believe me, one day, God's wrath is going to overwhelm the enemy. We just have to believe it. Just believe God. Believe God. Someday He's going to take care of it all. Proverbs 1:33, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." But let me say this too, before I end tonight, is that, you know, the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, sometimes we look at what's going on in this world and we just say, "I can't wait till God destroys them. I don't think this way." I used to, as a young Christian, really have that kind of zeal. "Well, God will take care of you, you know." Well, see, that's not even how God thinks. God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants them to get saved. He wants them to put their faith and trust in Him. Why? Because we're all sinners. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There was a day I was a wicked, lost sinner. And I was on the same hellbound train that many of those out there are on today. And God wants them to repent and come to Him. Turn to Him and trust Him for salvation. He doesn't want to throw people in hell. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God is a just God, and one day it's going to happen. One day God's going to close the books, and God's going to, and that's it. There's no more day. There's not another day to make a decision. There's no more time. Time's going to run out for people. But God's giving them time right now. And you know, God's given us time. You know, sometimes, if you look at it, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, you know what, Christian? There's things that you may lose. There's rewards you may lose if you don't get right with God. If we're not walking with Him daily, if we're not waiting at the post of His doors, if we're not watching daily, there's some things we might lose as Christians. And I'm preaching to myself just as much as anybody else here, because you know what? In our country, it's easy to look way, way down the road. Way down the road. And I just want to say this. I've had Christians, good Christians, cast stumbling blocks in front of me as far as living by faith. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying that it's wrong to plan. I am not saying that it's wrong to plan. But you know, when the Lord set up the model prayer, When the disciples asked, "Lord, teach us to pray," He said, "Pray, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our" what? "Daily bread." Daily bread. But you know what? As Americans, we're worried about next week. We're worried about next month. We're worried about next year. And we're worried about retirement. We're not worried about tomorrow. But you know what? The Bible says that we're not even supposed to think about tomorrow. Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. You know what keeps you from living keeps you and I from living for the Lord today, tomorrow, worried about tomorrow, worried about what's going to happen at my job, worried about what's going to happen in the economy, worried about what's going to happen in America. You know, I'm 50 years old now, and I'm losing track of time here. I'm 50 years old now, and I have to quit. But I was just thinking about this morning. I was thinking, Lord, there's never been a day in my life that I couldn't eat food. There's been days I chose not to eat food. There's never been a day in my life, maybe some of you here have experienced this, but I didn't have running water or a flushing toilet or couldn't go to the bathroom inside. I have a lot to be thankful for because I know history and I know that wasn't always the case. And just 100 years ago, there weren't even vehicles that we drive around today. Vehicles that get 200, 300,000 miles now, we're losing touch in a big way of what God's done. And sometimes I wonder if that's why there's judgment coming down on our country. It's because we're not giving God the daily thanksgiving, the daily praise that He deserves for all that He's blessed us with. We are blessed people in this country. And I'm blessed to be a Christian. That's above all. Blessed to be a Christian, and I live in America. And I just tonight, just a challenge, how is your daily walk? Do you desire to dwell in the courts of the Lord more than you desire to dwell in the tents of wickedness? And maybe you're not even saved tonight. Maybe you don't even know or have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with sin, and I will give you rest. Rest comes from the Lord. God rescues people. He's in the rescuing business, and He'll save any soul that'll come to Him. And so, just a little challenge tonight. If you're not saved, I would say the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't walk out without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You never know. You never know when you might lose your life. But if you're a Christian today, just a challenge that we should have a desire. Our desire should always be as strong or stronger than it was in the beginning, but somehow we just let it. I said, Lord, please help me. I know at 50 years old, I've gone through a lot. People that are 60, 70, 80 around here or in this building have gone through way more than I have even. But you know what? We should still be strong Christians. We should still be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We should still be growing in grace. Why? Because we serve an eternal God who has an unending source of power and provision and delight. Just to be delight to be in His presence. And so thanks for allowing me to preach tonight, brother. And we'll just have you come. I don't know if you want to have an invitation or